Good afternoon. My talk today is on the influence of soil nutrients on reproduction and pathogenicity of reniform nematodes on cotton. Reniform nematode damage is a major problem in southern cotton producing states in the US. Up to now, the best management practice is the use of nematicide. As you can see in this picture, the area to the right was treated with a nematicide, and the area to the left was untreated. And you can see the clear difference on plant growth with the use of nematicides. But the thing is, like, nematicides have some negative impacts, which are, these nematicides are harmful to the environment, and it's also costly. During our field visits to cotton fields in Louisiana, we have observed that if the field is heavily infested or damaged by reniform nematodes, that field also had some issues in its soil nutrient levels. These observations led us to study more on the effects of these nutrients on reniform nematode reproduction and pathogenicity. To observe these effects, we have done greenhouse studies and field studies. But for today's talk, I'm going to focus more on the greenhouse studies that we have done up to now. Up to now, we have done 4 greenhouse studies, and each greenhouse study lasted 60 days in the greenhouse. And we used steam-sterilized sandy loam soil for each greenhouse study. And initial soil nutrient analysis was conducted before using to the greenhouse studies. And for the greenhouse study 1, we used 4 combinations of phosphorus and potassium. And for the next 3 greenhouse studies, we used different rates of different nutrients, which were phosphorus, potassium, and sulfur. For the greenhouse study 1, we used sterilized clay pots with a diameter of 10.2. And as I mentioned above, we initially did soil nutrient analysis. And there were 8 treatments for greenhouse study 1. The treatments were 4 combinations of phosphorus and potassium, which were phosphorus high, potassium high, phosphorus high and potassium low, phosphorus low and potassium high, and phosphorus and potassium in both low levels. And we had 2 levels of reniform nematodes, 3,000 reniform nematodes and 0. And we add nitrogen to each treatment throughout the greenhouse study. We analyzed the data using 2-way ANOVA with 2x2x2 factorial design. And phosphorus, potassium, and nematodes were the main treatments, and these were the interactions. As you can see here, phosphorus had a significant effect on all 3 plant measurements, which were plant height, shoot and root dry weights. When we look at the nematode counts, egg counts had significantly affected by the phosphorus and nematode main effects, and also phosphorus interactions with potassium and nematodes also had a significant effect on egg counts. And when we look at the vermiform counts, also phosphorus and nematode as the main effects had significantly affected the vermiform counts, and also phosphorus and nematode interactions had had a significant effect too. In this graph, you can see the phosphorus and potassium interaction, and in the x-axis, these were the 4 phosphorus and potassium combinations. It goes from phosphorus low to phosphorus low, potassium high, phosphorus high, potassium low, phosphorus and potassium both in low levels, and phosphorus and potassium both in high levels. And in the y-axis, it's the number of eggs per root system. As you can see in this graph, there was a significant reduction in egg counts with high phosphorus and potassium levels compared to low phosphorus and potassium levels. A similar pattern was seen in the interaction of phosphorus with nematodes. With high levels of phosphorus, there was a significant reduction of egg counts compared to low phosphorus levels. A similar pattern was seen with reniform counts, vermiform counts. With high levels of phosphorus, there was a significant reduction of nematode counts for 100 cubic centimeters of soil compared to low phosphorus levels. The greenhouse study 2, 3, and 4 was similar in arrangement but had three different nutrients. And for the second greenhouse study, we used a little bit bigger sterilized clay pots, and we used phosphorus as the main nutrient. And we had five levels of phosphorus, which were very low, low, medium, high, and very high, which was 10, 20, 35, 60, and 73 milligrams per kilogram. And these five levels were assigned according to the phosphorus recommendation for cotton in Louisiana by LSU Soil Testing Laboratory. And we had 10 treatments for this second greenhouse study, and each treatment was replicated five times. For the plant measurements, we analyzed the data by 2A ANOVA, 5 by 2 factorial design, and we had two main effects, treatments and nematodes, and one interaction. As you can see in this table, shoot and root dry widths were significantly affected by the treatments, phosphorus treatments, and also shoot dry width was affected by the presence of the nematodes. And for the second, for this greenhouse study and the two studies that I'm going to talk about, we used 10,000 reniform and a zero level, zero and 10,000. When we look at the egg counts, the x-axis shows the increase in levels of phosphorus from phosphorus very low to very high, and y-axis shows the egg counts for per root system. As you can see in this graph, there was a significant reduction with increase in phosphorus levels compared to low phosphorus levels on the egg counts. Similar pattern was seen with the vermiform counts too. With high levels of phosphorus, there was a significant reduction in the vermiform counts when compared to low phosphorus levels in 500 cubic centimeters of sterilized soil, the soil that we used in the greenhouse study. For the third greenhouse study, we used potassium as the main nutrient, and it also had five levels that, as I mentioned above, and these levels were also assigned according to the recommended levels for cotton by the LSU Soil Testing Laboratory. And this greenhouse study also had 10 treatments, and each treatment was replicated five times. The data for this study also were analyzed using 2A ANOVA with 5 by 2 factorial design, and had two main effects and one interaction. And this also showed that shoot and root dry widths were significantly affected with potassium treatments. And the egg counts did not show any significant among different potassium treatments, but there was a reducing trend with increase in potassium levels, as you can see in this graph. Similar pattern was seen with reniform counts, with increasing potassium levels from potassium very low to very high. There was a reducing trend of vermiform counts, but there was no significant in between potassium treatments. For the fourth greenhouse study, we used sulfur as the main nutrient with five different rates, as I mentioned in the early greenhouse studies. And the rates were very low, low, medium, high, and very high. And the rates that we used were 3, 12, 20, 40, and 50 milligrams per kilogram. And this was also recommended by the LSU Soil Testing Laboratory. And this greenhouse study also had 10 treatments, and each treatment was replicated five times. When we analyzed the data using 2A ANOVA, what we found was that only dry shoot weight had an effect on, had a significant effect by the treatment, sulfur treatments that we used. But the nematode, the presence of nematodes significantly affected all three plant measurements. When we look at the egg counts, there was no significant relationship between sulfur treatments, and the similar pattern was seen with vermiform counts. So what we can summarize from these four greenhouse studies was that in the first greenhouse study, phosphorus had a significant effect on all three plant measurements, and it also affected nematode reproduction. And the second greenhouse study, what we can get is that it affected only shoot and root dry weights significantly, and also phosphorus affected nematode reproduction. Potassium treatments in the greenhouse study 3 only affected shoot dry weights but had no effect on reniform egg counts or vermiform counts. And sulfur treatments, which were used in greenhouse 4, also had an effect on shoot dry weight but had no effect on reniform reproduction or pathogenicity. So what we can conclude from these studies is that there we saw some effects of phosphorus on reniform reproduction and pathogenicity, and also on plant measurements. So we are planning to continue more studies on this and to do more field studies on that. So if we can come up with a management practice using these nutrients, we can use less amount of nematicide so that we can save some money and also help the environment. With that, I conclude my presentation, and I'd like to take any questions.
Time for questions.
Yes, sir.
So the phosphorus had a positive effect on plant growth, is that right?
Yes, sir.
And the phosphorus had a positive or negative effect on
It had a, I mean, it reduces the reproduction and path, reproduction, especially on reniform.
So you increased plant growth, but at the same time you're decreasing.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's what we saw. Yeah.
You've done a lot with spatial nematode relationships with texture. Can you comment any about phosphorus availability or deficiency associated with soil texture?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we have already looked at that problem, and we saw that with increasing clay levels, I mean, if the texture is heavy, it also contains more nutrients than fine textured soil. So they have a kind of a relationship with soil texture and the nutrient availability. So that could also lead to the distribution of nematodes too, yeah. Yes.
What was the background concentrations of those ions, and have you looked at any divalent cations?
Not yet, but the thing is, like, I just focused on the, you know, the rate that the farmers, I mean, the growers use normally, the different rates, and the soil that we found was very low in phosphorus, sulfur, and potassium. So we used it as a baseline, and then we just used it in different levels, like a stepping effect, something like that. Yes, ma'am.
Speculate on what the heck's going on with phosphorus. I mean, it's not a mass.
No.
Is it just that the roots are that much bigger that makes the nematode count? Before?
Yeah, it could be the reason, because it increased the plant biomass. It could increase the root system so that it can overcome the damage by the reniform. So it could lead to, you know, higher plant growth and higher yields. That could be the.
Only 160 days. If you pull it out a little longer, the fibers.
Yeah, it could. Yeah, we might. Yeah, that's the plan, because we are planning to do more studies on this in the future.
Any more questions? All right. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Let's have one more final round of applause for all of our speakers today.